I'm off a week in June. It's June the 18th through the 26th. Everything's not cut and dry. We are going to speak more about it between now and then. But be thinking about that. Be praying about that. If there ever was a people that needed revival, it's the church of the day and hour you and I live in.
Amen.
I'll be honest with you, buddy. When the church gets flatlined, we've lost our salt. We've lost our Savior. The reason we're down here is we're His witnesses. We're His ambassadors. And you know, when the Jehovah's Witnesses go more door to door than we do, that's to our shame. If anybody ought to be turning the world upside down, it's us. I haven't got over it. But I have to admit, I was more excited the day I got saved than I am today. I don't really have a good excuse for that. But I remember, boy, when I first got saved, my mother called me a fanatic, and rightly so. I was, still am to some degree. But you know, that kind of ought to maintain, it ought to stay up there. Well, anyway, that's what revival's all about. It's just kind of blowing on the coals a little bit, trying to get the fire kindled up a little bit. I know for some reason or other we think in revival's a lost order to get saved. I'll tell you what, you get the church revived and lost will get saved.
Amen.
You get the church revived, and I'll tell you what, buddy, they'll get a burden for their lost loved ones, and they won't let up, and they won't give up, and they'll get them in, and God will get them saved. And, you know, the church is, it don't need to be flatlined. It don't need to be mundane. I don't want to come in here and have a cut dry service. Y'all done missed this, but we was having singing up here, and a piano player just stopped playing the piano and went to the altar, and probably three or four puddles of tears are still there. I ain't got no problem with that at all.
Amen.
I wish we had more of that.
Amen.
I met my pastor one time, he was a preaching, and right in the middle of his preaching, he just stopped and went to the altar. I had never seen that on that fashion. It got quiet. He wept a long time.
Yes.
Then he got up and went back to preaching. I'm telling you, I was kind of dumbfounded. I thought, I've never seen this before, a man preach himself on the altar. But I was there the day that happened. And I've been in many services where people couldn't wait for the invitation. But if they was afraid that they wouldn't make it to the invitation, they stepped out and come forward and got saved. I don't have no problem with none of that. We got young kids here. I don't expect them to sit and act like you adults. I'm sorry. I don't expect them. They're full of life. We're half dead. I ain't got no problem with these kids. I ain't. They want to come up here and sit behind me. If they move around during the service, it don't bother me a bit. I hope it don't bother you. Just remember this. They're kids. They're full of life. They can't sit there like you and I half dead. We sit there and go to sleep, look at our watch. How much longer is he going to be? Don't worry about these children. They're fine. It won't cause no problem to me at all. All right, let's get our Bible this morning. These guys got here just in time. Amen.
Amen.
I want to say a few things before I do preach. This is an update. I got this off the internet. And I printed out. I wanted to share with you this morning. But they've made a new discovery, in Iran. And, they said this new discovery will collapse Christianity. An Iranian news outlet says that a version of a disputed gospel has been discovered in their nation in the year 2000, and it will collapse Christianity. The text was confiscated in an anti-smuggling sting and makes startling claims, including that Jesus was not crucified and is not the Son of God. Among other things, it also claims that the biblical figure saw in an inscription at the gateway to heaven that said Allah is the only God and Muhammad is His prophet. And many Christian scholars believe the text to be a fake, and I guess you could add me to that list, because the Bible said if someone comes to you and say, here's Christ, there's Christ, the Bible said believe them not. And one thing it's impossible for God to do, I've shared this up here many times, but it's impossible for God to lie. And for some reason or another, we'll listen to a lie more than we'll listen to the truth. But the Bible does say in the book of 1 John that no lies are the truth. But for some reason or another, we'll listen to a lie before we receive the truth. We're going to be preaching that in Hebrews chapter number 12. You want to get your Bible, open up right there. I've got a lot of stuff wrote over here, verses. I couldn't quote them all if I wanted to. Don't hold it against me. I think every preacher ought to have more than one verse to preach from. And if the Lord leads, I'll forsake them. But I won't be prepared. But in Luke chapter 21, verse 11, it says, great signs shall there be from heaven. And you know, we've had the moon closer than it's ever been. Everybody went out and gawked at it, including me. Went out there and looked. But also, there's three eclipses. I'll look some of this stuff up also. Over the next month, the world will experience three eclipses, two partial and a month apart, and one will be a total lunar eclipse in between. And scientists say, how is such a thing possible? On March the 19th, the moon became closest to the earth it's ever been, I guess. But let me just say, you know, the Bible said there will be great signs from heaven. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 19, it says, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in earth beneath. Verse 20 says, before that great and notable day of the Lord comes. Oh, for what it's worth, by the way, Iran has enough uranium to build 5 bombs. I'm not worried. That might be a concern to you. But I'm glad, praise God, that it's well with my soul.
Amen.
But that is something to think about. We're talking about a time bomb over there ticking. If they do fire, and they probably will, Israel's not going to sit back and let them blow them up. But if they do fire, and they're probably going to attack before they ever even think about firing one. But you got a powder keg going on over there. We're at the brink of the tribulation is what I'm trying to say.
Amen.
I mean, everything's pointing. I told Donnie, I said, when you come up here and look for a sign that says Jesus is coming, are you ready? I mean, we got all this stuff pointing. And there's just so much to be thinking about. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm ready. My bags is packed. I'm in a hurry. And glory to God. I'm glad. Praise God. I'm somebody going somewhere. And thanks to Calvary, I got somewhere to go. Amen. I mean, glory to God. I don't know about y'all, but I just get to enjoying the things of God. I like a good meal just like y'all. I like a good night's sleep just like y'all. But every now and then I like just get called away in the Spirit and get to thinking about things above, things that are better than the things of the earth, feasting on the things of God, and forsaking and forgetting the things of this world. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Melvin gave a testimony last Sunday night, and if you wasn't here, you missed it. His testimony, boy, it's been on my heart all week long. He stood up. He said, I'd like to say something tonight. And I don't know what he's going to say, but he said, and I knew his shoulder had been hurting. I've been hurting too. And he went to the doctor and they told him the only thing they knew to do was take a knife. You know what doctors, they'll take a knife to you in a heartbeat, believe you me. And they don't come cheap. I've never seen it like it. They'll cut you and charge you for it. But, you know, I told him, I said, Brother Melvin, that's your decision. You do whatever. But if it's me, I don't believe I'd go under the knife. And he had a shot that gave him a cortisone shot in his shoulder and helped a little bit, and he came back. But he said the other day, his testimony was, he said he was out there on the farm, and his shoulder was hurting, and he just got to really thinking about that. And his testimony per se was, you know, Lord, This suffering that I'm suffering is not nothing compared to the suffering you went through. And I don't really mind suffering a little bit, and for lack of better words, in light of the suffering you went through for me. And God just helped me heal him. In his testimony that night, he said, I hadn't told nobody this, even my wife, Margaret. I saw the look she gave him. But, you know, I got a blessing. All week long, I've been thinking about that testimony.
Yeah.
You know, that prayer that he prayed right there and just thanking the Lord was just like the prayer that Solomon, when God asked him what he should give him, and he amazed God and surprised God by saying, just give me wisdom to lead your people. And the Lord was kind of stunned at that. He said, because you didn't ask of great riches, you didn't ask a long life or the necks of your enemy. He said, I'm going to give you peace all your days. I'm going to give you riches, and I'm going to give you long life, and I'm also going to give you that wisdom you asked for. And he was the wisest man ever was. But just a noble request. I mean, sometimes God, you know, he hears us, you know, we're crying, we have our pity party. Lord, why am I thus? Why won't you heal me? Why won't you help me? And every now and then, just like Brother Melvin says, Lord, this ain't nothing. I don't have no problem this at all. Just thinking about how much you suffered for me, and God honored a prayer like that.
Amen.
Oh, me, I got a blessing just thinking about that. Also this week, I got the blessing of hearing a youth choir sing a song, "Oh, What a Savior." And I've been desperately trying to get this song because I want y'all to hear it too on King of Kings Radio. It's a youth choir. It's Pine Spruce Baptist Church in North Carolina. And they read Scripture. And while they're reading Scripture, these children are singing in the background, "Oh, What a Savior." And I've just been blessed thoroughly over that. I'll tell you what, I want to share that kind of blessing with you. If I am able to get that Scripture or get that website, I will get a CD of that and share it with you. Okay, Hebrews chapter number 12, we'll read quite a bit of Bible. Help you out, I know most of you like me don't read enough Bible. And I say that because it's true in all of our lives. But in Hebrews chapter 12, we'll read 15 verses here. "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye," this is our text verse, "and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which have corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily after a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But he, for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless," you mothers listen here, "nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." I'll stop my reading right there. But I want to preach today a message on where it says here, "Ye have forgotten." I want to preach a message on forgetting. I know this Memorial Day, and Charlotte, she brought to my attention a while ago that it's to honor our fallen veterans. And I do want to honor those that have given their lives so we could enjoy the liberty and freedom. And I will speak about them. I'm going to be preaching today on this Memorial Day Sunday on forgetting. And we are creatures of forgetfulness. Y'all pray with me and pray for me. Father, we bow our head this morning, Father, just thanking you, Lord. God, you loved us and gave yourself for us. Lord, how indebted we are to you. Every breath we breathe, Lord, you give. Lord, everything that we eat comes from your hand. Out of your hand, you feed the whole world. Lord, in you we live and move and have our being. Lord, people will be insane apart from you. You keep us sane, our sanity, sound mind and spirit. Father, I pray, dear God, today you'd help us to brag on your Son. Help us to honor your Word Help us, Lord, to yield to the Holy Spirit's leading. Lord, I pray you'd fill our cups, minister, Lord, in our midst to the point that we will be able to see the hand of God working here today. Lord, we're truly just a messenger boy. So I pray, dear Father, you'd preach to us and through us. We'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. Ask it in Jesus' precious and blessed name. Amen.
Amen.
I mentioned that verse. You mothers, listen up right here. And it said in verse 11 about chastening. It said that the present seems to be joyous. No chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. My mother, my father, they chasten this knothead boy you're looking at up here. I walked the line. I knew the consequences. But that peaceable fruit, you know, the Bible said, blessed are the peacemakers. And we think, you know, there ought to be some terms of peace. My mother knew the peacemaker. When she picked up that yardstick, I said, I'll be good. Amen. When Daddy took that belt off, I said, I'm ready to listen. Amen. I mean, blessed are the peacemakers. Somebody said one time that a woman came to him and said, where's that verse in the Bible? And he said, what's that, ma'am? She said, blessed are the peacebreakers. I need it. Where's it at? He said, boy, wouldn't you like to pastor her? I'll tell you right now, I'm glad I know the great peacemaker. I'm glad, praise God, there's a calm in my soul. Because one day he said, peace, be still, amen. And glory to God, there's a calm come upon me. And I'll tell you right now, even to this day, amen, I thank God for the peace of God that passes all understanding. Glory to God. You can't buy peace. You can't borrow peace. But He'll bring peace if you'll come to Him, amen. Oh yeah, that peace. Hallelujah. World spends fortunes trying to make peace. Yet the Bible says just clearly and plainly, there's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And they just will not come God's way. But we want to preach today on forgetting. And he said here, kind of unusual, he said, you have forgotten the exhortation. Now, exhortation, the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. Now I noticed on the way up here this morning, I met cars, they was driving boats. I'm talking about not driving boats, they was driving cars, they was pulling boats and four-wheelers, and I seen hot rods, some of them is driving, and some of them is towing, and four-wheelers, and no telling what. And you know, I don't know, maybe they forgot the exhortation that the Bible says, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together. I'm just going to guess that if I could have stopped them, I'm going to guess 99% of them would say, oh yeah, I'm saved. I love the Lord. And you know, if God showed up, I don't know what they're going to tell Him, but I'll tell you what, He may show up, and if He does, I'll tell you what, buddy, they're going to remember Him real quick. And you know, the Bible said in Revelation chapter number 1 that John said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He said he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus. But I want you to know one thing. He recognized the Lord's day. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He said, I heard behind me a voice, amen. I'm telling you, glory to God. I'm telling you, John would have been in church if he could have. Back on that wall back there is the Ten Commandments. Number 4 says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. I don't honor the Sabbath. I honor the Lord's Day. The Jews, they recognize Saturday. I recognize Sunday. I don't know if you can understand that or not. But I'll tell you where I'm going to be on Sunday. We're not having church now. I'll be at Bethel Baptist Church over at Glasgow. I plan on having a shouting fit. I plan on running the aisle and saying, glory to God! Amen! I'm glad I know in whom I have believed. Amen. Amen. I'm glad He knows me. I'm glad I know Him. I tell you what, if anybody ought to be happy, it ought to be God's people. The Bible said, happy is that people whose God is Lord. Yea, happy is that people in such a case, Psalm 144, verse 15. But I want you to know, people have forgot their exhortation. They have forgot the Word of God. And the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, that we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. And if anybody ought to be interested in the Word of God, it ought to be God's youngest. I'm telling you, 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 4, said that they are given unto us, wherefore they are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises to us. Word. I want to know what they are, amen. I want to claim the promise of God, amen. And I get down every now and then. I don't know about y'all, I charge batteries all week long. Sometimes I need my battery charged.
Amen.
Amen. I want that promise, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Yes.
I want that promise. You know, Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs out of His riches and glory. He bragging on his God. He said, my God shall supply all your needs out of His riches and glory. I want to know those promises. Those exceeding great and precious promises to us, Word, amen. I want to read the Bible. I want to know what it says concerning me.
Amen.
You know, you have someone to pass away and they read that will and, man, people want to know what's in there pertaining to them. I'll tell you what, Lord, that's what, kind of what the Bible is. Amen. There have been some promises given unto us. But the Bible said they have forgotten the exhortation. In Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 2, it says, be not forgetful. We're people, we're creatures of forgetfulness. I could ask Brother Donnie what Brother Daniel preached on last Sunday and he could give me that look like, I'll get back with you. I can ask y'all what I preached over here last Sunday. Y'all give me that. Please don't ask me. Look. I mean, we're just creatures of forgetfulness. But I'll tell you right now, boy, when that message is delivered, when it's piping hot, I mean fresh, right out of the oven of God, I mean when it comes down, that's when it's the best. That's when you ought to take advantage of the message of God and not be just hearers. But I'll tell you what, you ought to be doers of the Word of God. Amen. We are creatures of forgetfulness. I can't remember people's names. I don't mean it. I seen somebody this week and I couldn't remember where I met them. I knew them. Come to find out, we worked up at Dollar General together. He helped me out. He said it's different at Dollar General. Soon he said that, I knew exactly who he was. But oh me, we're creatures that forget. But the Bible said in James chapter number 1, verse 25, it says, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. It said, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. See, we're forgetful here. Somebody say, Brother Eddie, where's that verse at? It says something like, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help, time of trouble. I'll say Psalm 46, verse 1. I got a woman in my arms yesterday and pulled her up to me and had prayer over her. She's down. She was discouraged. She was in tears. I can't help it. I'm a man of compassion. I pulled up to me and I had prayer with her and wept with her. And some lady came over to me after that. She said, you don't see that very often. She said, I got a blessing watching you pray with that woman. I said, I can't turn them down. I can't. You come to me in tears. I'll tell you what, buddy. I'm like Jesus. I'm touched by your feelings. I'm telling you right now, He gave me a love for souls. And that lady come to me. She said, she's saved. She said, I'm really down right now. And I quoted some verses to her. And I saw the effect that it had upon her. And I saw her, you know, she was bringing tears down her cheeks and realizing, praise God, that the Lord loved her. And I'm telling you, glory to God, He's a very present help in times of trouble. Amen.
Amen.
I told her, I said, that psalm that said, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow death, He said, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. I said, you know why He said that? She said, no, why? I said, He had company in that valley. I said, you got company. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I said, you know why I said that? She said, no, why? I said, He had comfort. He was in the valley, but He had company. He had comfort. He said, I'm going through. Glory to God. I said, you can make it.
Amen.
We can make it, amen. If you're not a forgetful hearer, if you're able to draw from this well, every preacher needs to know the Bible. Every preacher needs to be ready to give a man an answer that asks him a question of the reason of hope that's within him. Every preacher needs to study, show himself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Every preacher's got to do that. I'm telling you, buddy, if you're going to be any kind of a preacher at all, you're going to have to be prepared. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to preach. The Bible said, be instant in season, out of season. Sometimes I'm out of season, I still got to preach. Sometimes I'm in season, you can't find nowhere to preach. I'll jump on the side of the road and start preaching. But I'll tell you what, be not a forgetful here. Don't let the Word of God fall to the ground. I'm telling you, count it precious. Count it dear. I'm telling you, lay it up. It'll come in handy when you get down. Amen. Acts chapter number 11, verse 16. It said then, remember now the word of the Lord talking about Peter. Man, he got confronted by the Jews. He said, what was I to do? This man Cornelius called for me. And I went to him and I got a dream and I didn't really understand what the Lord was trying to tell me. But he said, all of a sudden I remembered the word of the Lord. Amen. Oh me. Also there in Acts chapter number 12. I'm sorry, John chapter 12, verse 16. Said then, remember they the things which were written of him, talking about Jesus, when he come into Jerusalem, and the people come out, Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The Bible said they remembered the things that were written of him. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, David's down, and the Bible said he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I'll tell you what, you'll get down. But I'll tell you what, when you get down, look like David. He said, I'll look to the hills which come of my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 says, when you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. I'll tell you what, we don't need to forget this word. Amen.
Amen.
You'll find out, buddy, you can make it if you know enough Bible. The Bible talks about, you know the devil's going to come against you. He's a liar and the father of it. Ain't born way to overcome a liar, and that's to know the truth. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse number 30, he said, if ye be my disciples, he said, continue in my word. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I'll tell you what, buddy, that old lying devil will come by and he'll say, God don't love you. And I said, Whoa, back up here. I believe I read there in the Bible, it said, herein is love, not that I love God, but that he loved me and gave his son to be propitiation for my sin. I said, I believe I read in the Bible that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I believe I read in the Bible, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. I believe I read in my Bible, greater love there's no man than this. He laid down his life for his friends. I'm telling you, glory to God. I'm glad I know the truth. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. That devil will come by, boy, he won't come by at a good time. Oh, he'll make sure you're down. I think he knows where I live. I think he knows my name. I want him to. Amen. I ain't afraid of him. He's got to get permission to touch me.
That's right.
Amen. He's got to go get permission, Brother Bobby. Yeah, praise God. The Bible said that when the enemy comes in like a flood, God lift up a standard against him. Amen. It says, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Amen. I don't know what's going to happen today, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad I know in whom I have believed. I'm glad I know he's greater than all my problems. Well, actually, for lack of better words, we got more God than we need. I mean, you're just not going to run out of God. We got more than we need. Amen. But many people, churches included, let me use great plainness of speech, have forgotten the Word of God. They've turned to fables. It's, thank you, Sister Molly. It's had an effect. If you know much Bible, you know we're begotten by that Word.
Amen.
Peter said, then born again, not of corruptible, but incorruptible, by the Word of God. I'll tell you right now, we need to get back to the Word of God.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, boy, the Bible said in the last days there'll be a famine. And the famine will be of hearing the Word of God. And the churches nowadays, they've compromised. And they done got crumpled and they're so worldly. I'm telling you, the carnal and everything else. But the Word of God will straighten all that out. And I'll tell you what, we don't need to forget. We need the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible said in Isaiah 46 that God declared the end from the beginning, saying, my counsel will stand. I'll do all my pleasure. We just need to get back to the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Well, to give more honest heed to the things we've heard, lest any time we let them slip. But one thing, forgetting the Word of God. Another thing is forgetting who you are. James chapter 1 verse 24 talks about a man going his way and forgets what manner of man he was. I mean, you hear it all the time. I've heard it. You've heard it. I thought he's a Christian. Yeah. I used to work in a factory. You know how gossip is. It just goes, you know. And I'd hear people all the time, yeah, I thought he was a Christian. I seen him over a day. I seen her a day. And you know, I thought better of them than that. I can't believe that they do something like that. What do you think about that? I said, I think you need to go talk to Jesus about that. Don't bring me into it. But I'll tell you one thing. People watch you. You're a living epistle. They'll watch everything you say, everything you eat, how you eat. They'll watch where you go, what you do. Man, they want to see you bow your head, bless your food. If you don't, I'll tell you what, you'd be less of a Christian if you don't. But I'll tell you right now, they watch you. Amen. That lady saw me have prayer with that lady come over there, buddy. And I'll tell you what she said. I just got a blessing watching you have prayer with that woman. She said, you don't see that very much. I said, we ought to. What's wrong with us? Where did all of this fall by the wayside? We forgot the Word. We forgot who we are. What manner of person we are. This world, they don't need Eddie Wade. They need Jesus.
Amen.
I don't need to manifest Eddie Wade. I need to crucify him.
That's right.
I need Eddie Wade to die daily so Jesus Christ can live in Eddie Wade, so people have confidence enough in me to know they might hear something that'll help them. I'll tell you what now, boy, this world needs the Lord and they need him now. Amen.
Right.
I'll tell you what it's going to be like, so bear with me here a minute. My wife had to have surgery in Bowling Green. And I went down there. I knew it was going to be a while. I mean, she's going to have surgery. So I thought, well, I'll take me something good to read. I took my Bible with me down there, Bowling Green down there, and in the waiting room. And that waiting room's bigger than this church. It's huge. I mean, this place where she had her surgery is a big old hospital. It's big. They had a huge, it wasn't a little bitty waiting room. It was a huge waiting room. And I went over there all by myself. Sit in a chair and open up my Bible, minding my own business, reading my Bible, and it got quiet in there. Everybody just stopped. I mean, Quakers meeting began. I never heard of much grunting and choking and coughing and clearing throat. Finally, some woman said, well, I never. Some guy got up cussing. He said, if I wouldn't have church, I'd have went to church. Got up and walked out of there. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, that word is an offense. Everybody's not glad you're a Christian. Everybody don't want to see you praying. Everybody don't want to see you reading their Bible, but they need to see it. Amen! God bless you, Brother Anthony. It's a little life in here. They need to see it. They need it, Sister Sophia.
That's right.
All I did is took my little old bitty pocket Bible and opened it up and read it, Brother Jesse. And I'm telling you, buddy, it disrupted everything in there. And I just tell you what it's going to be like. If you decide you're going to take a stand for God, and I'll tell you right now, you'll find out the world don't want it.
Amen.
And I'm telling you right now, buddy, they don't know how to handle it. But don't forget who you are. Amen. I'm telling you, the world needs to see the real thing. There's enough hypocrites. There's enough Pharisees. There's enough Sadducees. There's enough abomination out there calling themselves Christians. They need the real thing. Amen.
Amen.
Tell you what, you just be real.
Yeah.
Just be real. You don't have to be 10 foot tall. Just be real.
Right.
The little Luke over there, he's real. He's playing that guitar. That's real. Just be real. If you'll just be real, they'll at least say there must be something to that. They need something real. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 9 talks about a man that has forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Hey, listen, I don't never want to forget what he done for me.
Amen.
I was driving to Bowling Green yesterday, not like I used to go down there and get a load of liquor. And I was driving down there and set up down at Flea Land. I was going to try to come up with some money. Old Brother Eddie, I don't know, God must want me the way I am, but I'm not complaining, don't get me wrong. But I'm always trying to figure out how to take a dollar and turn it into 10, or 10 and turn it into 100. But anyway, I went down there, and as we're going down there, I heard this song on the radio. And the song was, Who Am I? And oh man, I got to thinking about him. Like Brother Melvin said, how much he suffered for me. how much he was willing to go through just so I could have a home in heaven. Just so I could be saved. And boy, I just got the cane helpless and I'm driving down the road and eating and I'm crying and arms up in the air and people's looking and what's wrong with him? And man, I met two or three policemen. I think they sprayed to pull me over. I don't know. But I'll tell you right now, boy, I don't never want to forget what Jesus done for me.
Amen.
I don't know how in the world we get over it. But I don't plan on it for a long time. Amen, Sister Molly. I wish, praise God, I could be more for Him. Amen?
Amen.
Man, oh man. Old song said, when my Savior reached down for me, He had to reach way down.
Amen.
But boy, I tell you what, I'm glad He was willing. He got me out of the miry clay, set my feet upon the rock, put a song in my heart, even praise to His name. Amen.
Amen.
How do you get over something like that?
Amen.
Man, oh man, oh man. I believe we could have some revival if we just go back and remember just how gracious and good God is. I was talking to Brother Donnie on the way up here this morning, and we was talking about that young boy that got killed, and I hated to hear about it. But I told Donnie, I said, the same God that stretched out a nail-scarred hand to me stretched out to that young boy. And I said, I don't know, but I hope that young boy took that hand, because I tell you what, that hand will get you to heaven, and without that nail-scarred hand, you ain't going to make it. But I told Brother Donnie, I said, the Bible said, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. When you get a thing about how good God's been to you, when you get a thing about all the things that He's daily loaded you down with, and you never even thanked Him, nor put no thought to it, you just wanted more, and more, and more, and He just keeps on blessing you, and it don't bring you to repentance, I'm telling you something wrong! Amen.
Amen.
The goodness of God.
That's right.
Man, some people didn't wake up this morning, Molly. Whew. You know why some people live to be 80, 90 years old and die lost? The goodness of God. You know why some Christians die young? God wanted to get them out of this mess. Paul didn't say the part to be a Christ is a little better. He said it's far better. I'll tell you some verses someday. I won't waste no time right now, and I wouldn't be wasting no time if I did right now. I just got more verses I need to deliver, but this ain't heaven. This ain't home. I'm in a journey. One day I'm going to get home, and when I get home, you're hearing no more belly aching out of me. But I'll tell you right now, I'm in a hurry to get home. I wish I could leave today, but I know the long-suffering of God isn't unto us work, because God's not willing that any pass, but all come to repentance, and everybody ain't saved. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, man. Whew. Peter said he has forgotten that he's purged from his old sins. I'll never want to forget what He done for me. You know, the Lord's Supper, the whole reason for the institution of the Lord's Supper, the Lord said, do this in remembrance of me. He said, take and eat. He broke the bread and He said, take, eat. This is my body, which was broke for you. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Then He took the cup and He said, this, my blood, was shed for you. Take in remembrance of me. Every time we do the Lord's Supper, it's just to remind us that His body was broke, that His blood was shed, just so you could be saved. The whole institution is due in remembrance of me. And there's no certain time. It says as oft as you do it. I wish we'd done it more. We don't. But I'll tell you right now, don't never forget what you done for Him. He said, as oft as you do eat this bread, verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, He said, as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. You know, some people have been so bold as to call it a slaughterhouse religion. Well, it is. You read there in Isaiah 53, it said He's led as a lamb to the slaughter. It is a slaughterhouse religion. Yeah, His vestures was marred more than any man. Yeah, He gave His cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. His back to the smiters. His cheeks to those that smite. But I don't never want to forget the Word of God. I don't never want to forget who I am. But also I don't never want to forget who He is. Amen?
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 51, verse 12 through 13. I believe I will read some of this rather than try to quote it. Isaiah chapter 51. If you want to get your good old King James Bible out, you can search the Scripture, see what I'm reading to you right. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 12. God said here, I, even I, am He that comforts you. Boy, oh boy, I'm glad he comforts me. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass, and forgetteth the Lord, notice these next two words, thy Maker, that stretcheth forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? Did you notice that? The Lord thy Maker. God said, don't forget that he's the one that made you, your Maker. On my car right there, it's got Job chapter 37, verse 7. And I put on there, I said, you can know you was created. Job 37, verse 7. And here's what that verse says. It says, he sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. And every atheist, looking him right in the face, has his fingerprint, the endorsement of his Creator, his Maker, looking him right in the face. And he still says, like Isaiah, like Psalms 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Psalms 53, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, and he'll die a fool's death. Because I'll tell you right now, if he forgets his Maker, he won't never repent, he won't never receive the Lord, he won't never get saved, and he'll die like Abner. He'll die as a fool dies. Amen.
Amen.
Your fingerprint. Evidence of your Maker. Evidence. Had enough evidence. That's why that verse said we got a cloud of witnesses. So great a cloud of witnesses. That stretched forth the heavens. The Bible said the heavens declare the glory of God. You know what? He knows the weight of the earth. Did you know that? But forgetting our Maker. Now we dwell in a nation that's guilty of forgetting their Maker. In Psalms chapter 9, verse 17, he said, the wicked shall be turned into hail, and all the nations that forget God. Verse 20 says, put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. America's got too big, so they say, for God. America's kind of like the Titanic, that in its greatness when it was made was so majestic that someone made the foolish statement to say that even God couldn't sink the ship, and it sunk on its maiden voyage. That's where America's at. They think that God could not destroy America, and yet it's happening as we speak. When the twin tires fell, I knew the heads had been taken down. And I want you to know, but it's not over. When the Andrews and the Wilmas and all of the destruction, I'm telling you, the tornadoes and the floods and the earthquakes, all of that's just the beginning of sorrows. This nation better get back on course, get back in touch with God. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible said the way of the transgressor is hard. Look with me, please. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm about done. I know you can only digest so much, so I ain't going to overload you here this morning. But look in Deuteronomy. I want to read this. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Look at verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. You know why we got a deficit? Well, you go ahead and blame whoever you want to. I'll tell you what it is. We forgot God. When they took them 10 commandments out of our schools, rose up that generation that they didn't, I had them on there when I was in there. When they took prayer out of our schools, that principal Reed Moore, he read the Bible over the intercom every morning at school. We said the pledge every morning, and we had that in nation, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice. We had all that. But all that's gone now. I mean, we've become like President Clinton, I said, we've become a multicultural nation. But I'll tell you right now, God's a jealous God. But if we don't remember the Lord our God, we're not going to get out of this deficit. In verse 19 it said, and it shall be, if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods like what we're doing, so better listen, and serve them like we're doing, better listen, and worship them, I testify unto against you this day that ye shall surely perish.
Yes.
I went on the internet this morning. Now this is just America for you. I mean, I'm down at Freeland yesterday, and there's a girl come through there, and her hair went like this, big rooster tail spike, I guess, and it was every color in the rainbow, and somebody had an audacity person thinking, I feel of it. And I looked at that, and I thought, oh, man. And this little girl, how old are you, honey? She's about your age. She's smoking. She's got, you know, she's tattooed one and the other. You know, I mean, got to get them early. You can't wait till they get any sense about them at all. You gotta attack them while they're in school and say everybody else is doing it. And you need to get you one of these. You need to smoke one of these. You need to drink one of these and pop two of these.
That's right.
Our schools are under attack.
That's right.
They threw Jesus out, William. They let the devil in. And I'll tell you right now, he's causing havoc. I hate to say this, but if I was you, I'd keep my children home and teach them what little bit they need to know. They'd be better off to sit at your lap like the Amish. You don't have to have a PhD. All that is postal digger. It's all it is. Yeah. You don't have to have that. You don't have to have so many degrees. They call you Dr. Fahrenheit. Man, I'll be honest with you. This world's got too smart for its own good. But he said, I testify against you this day that you'll surely perish. There's a generation raising up right now that don't know the Lord, just like that generation, the book of Judges, that come up after Joshua and Moses was gone that didn't know the Lord. That's where we're at. In verse 20, the Bible said, as the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall you perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Now you look up there in verse number 11. If you still got that Bible open up, Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Look at there. Beware. You ever see them signs? No trespassing. Beware the dog. Me and Brother Melvin, we'll go out visit. And I said, you know, the Bible says beware dogs, Brother Melvin. There'll be one out there and it'll chew on his leg a while and chew on mine a while. I went with my pastor one time to a house. Six people got saved. There's a dog chewing on my leg while we was trying to get in. It's worth it. It says, beware, verse 11, that thou forgettest not the Lord thy God. Verse 14, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. Verse 19, and it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, I testify against you this day that you'll surely perish. Everybody says, wonder what's wrong in America. I'll tell you what's wrong in America. We need to return to God.
Amen.
You need to turn the TV off. You need to turn everything off and say, oh Lord, I want to get back in touch.
Amen.
I want to get back and speak in terms. I want my leaders to fear God. I want to denounce all this bunch of junk that they're calling, global warming and all of this bunch of junk. What's right? I'll tell you right now what's right. The Lord's right. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 78 verse 11, the Bible said Israel forgot his works. Verse 19 said they spake against God. Verse 41, they turned back. Verse 42, and they remembered not. Well, I'll tell you what, they lost their land. They lost their place. The Romans come in and destroyed Jerusalem. We're not no better than them. You're here this morning and you're not saved, listen. You won't have no excuse. I know you think, well, these churches, they're to blame. I know you say, well, they didn't preach to me. Well, I preached to you. I prayed for you. You're going to be without excuse. The Bible said that you'll be without excuse. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? There'll be no excuse. There'll be no escape. There's only one option. Today, if you hear His voice, come and get saved. Father, we thank You for the message today. I pray, dear Father, today that, Lord, this word would not return void. I pray, dear Father, today that somehow I've been able to pull the blinders away from the God of this world that blinds the minds of many, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine into them. I pray, dear Father, today that someone, Lord, has heard the word of God today. I pray that, Lord, they'll consider the invitation and the opportunity to bear, Lord, dear God, Your name upon them, that You belong, that they belong to You, and Lord, that You are their Lord and Savior. Lord, help us in this invitation. Set captives free. Save that once nearest ail. May I pray the urgency of the matter of getting saved be here today in this invitation. In Jesus' name. Let me ask everybody to be standing, please. Stand, please, while we give this invitation. You Christians, please pray. We've got lost people here this morning. You know what lost people need to do? They need to get saved. They need to get saved. I'm saved. And it's by God's grace I got saved. But if you're here this morning and you're not saved, listen. Don't miss heaven. I beg you. Don't miss heaven. I beseech you, like Paul said, receive the Lord. He said, we persuade men. Go ahead, Brother Melvin. Won't you come this morning? They call this the Mayan year. I don't know. They say the triple eclipses. I don't know. They say the moon's closer than it's ever been. I don't know. I do know this. Jesus Christ came this world so you can be saved. If you're here this morning lost, come on. Come on right now. Step out. Get someone by the hand and say, go with me. I don't want to take a chance, dying lost, end up in hell. I want to get saved. I want to do it now. I want somebody to go with me. Get somebody by the hand. Come on. Come on. Yes, I am. In the blood. Cleanse my soul from all the sin stains. It's well with my soul. Come on. Early. Yes, they are. Thanks to the blood of Jesus. Yes, they are. You don't deserve it. You can't earn it. It's a gift. God will give you that if you'll come. Come on. You'll be without excuse. You've heard the message. You know it to be true. Won't you come this morning? Somebody needs to step out this morning. I know for a fact. Somebody needs to come this morning. I can't convey the urgency of this invitation. Somebody needs to come this morning. Young or old, somebody needs to come. Hold on just a second, Brother Melvin. Down in hell, down there, they remember messages like this. Down in hell, they say, why didn't I come? Why didn't I let God have His way? You know, that's one of the horrors of hell. Is down there, you remember what Abraham said? He said, son, remember. You know, down in hell, people remember. We might forget here, but believe you me, down in hell, when you're down there in the flames of hell, you remember that God was merciful. God was gracious. Gave you opportunity after opportunity. Invited you. Said, come, let me fix it. Come, let me help you. You'll remember this moment. You'll say, why didn't I go forward? Why did I not get someone by the hand? Why did I not get saved? You'll have no one to blame but yourself. Go ahead, Brother Melvin. Won't you please come this morning? I'm begging you. Your robe be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb. Come on! Blood of the Lamb. There's still time. In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are you coming, Father? Are they worth their soul? Are you worth in the blood of the Lamb? Hold on a second, Brother Melvin. I don't want to scare our little ones here. I was listening to a guy preach this week. Older man, a lot of wisdom. He said he just read a book called They Dwell Among Us. And the book was about the Muslims that have already, they're in America right now. They're just waiting for the word. As soon as they get the word, heads will roll, be a bloodbath. You'll never see as much bloodshed. And you'll say, why did God allow this? I'll tell you why. Because you deserve it. Your nation deserves it. Your leaders deserve it. They need to go into the White House, kill every one of them. They need to go in your house. If you're, and I'm glad, Sister Caroline, God, I got the blood flow.
Amen.
Yeah. I'll tell you right now, buddy, the destroyer's coming. Yeah. Boy, that's he right. Said he read that book, it really shook him. He realized, boy, the hour we're living in is a ticking time bomb.
Yes.
You better get a refuge for your soul.
Amen.
They dwell among us. Listen, they're not like you and me. William, I give you the shirt off my back. I'll give you my last dollar. I'll give you anything I've got. They're not like that. They're just the opposite of you and me. They won't listen to any terms. They'll come in and raise with the devil. I'll tell you right now, they'll kill your children. They'll kill you. There's only one thing that'll make a difference, and that's Jesus. Go ahead, Brother Melvin. You're to come for all this happens. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you the hour you're living in. And be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Flowing for the soul, I claim. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Won't you come? There's still time. Step on in. We're going overtime. Come on. Good Lord, come on. Are the spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? God bless you, Brother Melvin, Sister Margaret. Anybody got a word in your heart this morning? Boy, it's been a rough message, but I'll tell you what, it was truth. Everything I told you this morning has been the truth.
Brother Eddie, I'm just glad I'm saved by the blood of Christ Jesus. I'm glad my name's wrote down in the Lamb's life, and I don't care what all has been done to me since I've been a Christian. I know it's going to be worth it when I reach heaven.
Amen, Brother God.
I mean, the good Lord, He's seen the path I've been on, and He's seen I hadn't forsaken Him and hadn't given up on Him, and He's given me a little earthly joy back in my life.
Bless you, Brother God. Amen.
I mean, you know, you ask for a little earth of joy, you know, God got to give it to you.
I bless
as long
you
as you stay on that path that leads his foot, you know what I mean?
Amen.
He's a good God, loving God.
Yeah.
There's nothing like Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, let me tell you.
Amen.
I've been saved 11 years. It didn't take no twin tires to be blown up, me to get saved.
God bless you.
I got saved March 4th, 2001, and then twin tires fell down afterwards, you know.
Amen.
I want to thank the Lord. I went because the Lord pulled me there.
God bless you, Brother Donnie. Amen. The Bible said the path of the just is a shining light. It shineth more and more into the perfect day.
Amen.
He said the Lord knows the path I'm on. Job said the Lord knoweth the way that I take.
That's right.
He said when I'm tried, I'll come forth like gold, tried in the fire.
Amen.
I witness in heaven, the record's on high.
Amen.
One, two,
amen.
One. Amen.
Right.
Who else got a word in your heart this morning? Somebody may need to hear it.
I waked up this morning and I was laying there praying before I got up. And I prayed and I was praying from the center of the church.
Bless you, Sister Sophie.
Bless
your heart.
Amen.
God bless you, Sister.
Bless
her, Lord. She's praying for the sinners.
Bless her, Lord.
Amen.
Save us all, you know.
Amen.
Been praying every week for their loved ones.
God bless you, Sister.
I've been praying for it too, and I've just wishing someone to go for a little while
I'm
living.
Amen. Amen.
Bless
you, Sister Sophie.
Yeah.
Heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He shed his blood.
Yeah.
And I love it so much.
God bless you. God bless you, Sister Sophie. I was on my knees this morning, 4 o'clock. Yesterday morning, 2 o'clock, calling out the Randall Grants and the Leonard Smiths, the Butch. Some other names that I won't mention, but your name's been called out. You've been thoroughly prayed for. The Bible said you'll be without excuse, and you will. And I'll tell you what, I appreciate that testimony. She said she is praying for sinners to get saved.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Sinners need to get saved. They need somebody to pray
yes,
for
they
them.
Do.
They need someone to stand in the gap. They need to get saved.
Yes.
Who else this morning got a word in your heart? God bless you, Sister Mom.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he said he can move mountains.
That's right.
That's right.
You're right, Sister Molly.
And I'm praising for everything
you've ever
done.
Amen.
And I don't
care
what they do today. They can't take
me
out of
my life.
God
bless you.
I'm praising.
Amen. Yes, he's worthy. Well, I like that. Amen. She said, I praise him. He's worthy. Amen. Who else got a word? We're done. We're done. We're done.
I enjoyed the anointing preaching there. I feel the Spirit bearing witness.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Thank God for getting to you.
Bless you, Brother Melvin.
I found the Lord gave President Jeff time for me. You know, but they send time for me. You know, he'll let us go through some trials.
Yeah.
Daniel, I believe it took him 3 weeks to get a
prayer
through one time.
Said Satan
must
do it
to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. God bless you, Brother Melvin.
See their knees. It seems like they can't, but I can't.
Yeah.
Here, where it was at, you know. And I'm saying, well, I'm not with any spirit. I wish it all come to
pass. Amen.
I don't want to see anybody get saved. Even my worst enemy, I don't want to see him saved.
Amen. That's right.
But he hates me, and I still want to be saved.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Bless your mission for coming this
way. Amen.
Today.
Appreciate him driving so far. I hope the Lord blessed him while he's up here.
Sure enough.
Yeah. Amen. Are we done?
Brother Eddie, I'd like to thank the Lord today. I remember the time whenever I was walking in the world and I thought money and my job and I thought it was everything to me.
Bless you, Brother Ronnie.
And my dad, he was a preacher and he was trying to tell me and I just wouldn't listen. I walked blind.
Bless
you. My eyes wasn't open and the Lord just seemed fit to take everything away from me.
Yeah,
I lost everything I had.
Right.
Lost my home, my job, lost everything. Everything that was important to me that I was put before the Lord.
Right.
And then got in church and got saved and went through some trials and some troubles.
That's my brother.
And I am called to preach.
Yes.
And the Lord truly blessed me and my family.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless you, brother.
I ventured to call to preach and to do what he'd have me to do.
Yeah.
We're going through trials and troubles now, but I've got somebody on my side.
Yeah.
Amen.
That'll never leave me or forsake me and always
right.
be there for me. That's my Lord
right.
Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Yes. And I just want to say to anybody out here this morning, if you're walking in the world and you're lost, please don't give up. The Lord conviction. If he puts it on your heart, walk up to him and ask him to help you and save you. Because you'll never, never feel the peace that, you, that you'll experience when you ask the Lord to save your soul. And it's been a wonderful journey, and I'm looking forward to the day that I get to go home.
Amen.
Bless you, Brother Ronnie.
Amen.
He said his father was a preacher. For 10 years, I and his father preached upon the public square there in Glasgow, Kentucky. And I'll tell you what, that's not easy. It's not for the faint-hearted. But his father and I, we took turns. I'd go first sometimes. He would. We'd get there. I'd say, you want to go first, brother? Me? He said, you go ahead. Or sometimes he'd say, I'm ready. I'd say, here, Brother Ronnie. What a blessing that was. What a precious memory. Be able to stand up on the courthouse, up on the courthouse square in Glasgow, Kentucky, proclaim the word of God. And I'll tell you what, boy, that was a great honor that God bestowed upon me and his dad. Be able to stand up there for the word of God. Praise God, that was a real blessing. Amen.
Amen.
We're done? All right. Brother Melvin, dismiss us. Word of prayer, brother.